We're going to deal with something tonight. Genesis chapter number 16, verses 1 through 7. A wounded warrior. How often in life do you volunteer for something? And once you volunteer, sign up for something, or you drafted to do something, what you thought you were getting, you really didn't get that. Maybe sometimes you'll sign up for a ministry, or you sign up for a class or whatever, and as it go along, you discover that you didn't know all of this was a part of it. And so it's very easy for us sometimes to just want to walk away from something. As a child of God, as a Christian, you are a soldier in God's army. And because you're a soldier in God's army, you're on the battlefield for the Lord. Amen. Now, when you're on the battlefield, some things may happen. Like, you may be a casualty of war. You may even get hit by friendly fire. But if there's a war going on and you get hit by friendly fire, you don't then turn your gun and you shoot back at the friendlies just because they accidentally shot you. You try to understand where they're coming from, even though you may be in pain. And so here you are, you're a child of God, and you come into the church, and someone accidentally shoot you. And so you turn your gun and you want to shoot back at the person in the church that is seated next to you. Things happen sometimes in life. And we have to be big enough to understand that sometimes you'll get hurt, but it's not the intent of the person to hurt you. See, in the church, we're always talking about this thing called forgiveness, but we can't do it in the church. And we wonder why the church is falling off. See, what we have to learn to do is to let go of some things. Now, every time someone in the church hurt you, doesn't mean that you need to defend your position. Because if you understand why you're doing what you're doing, there's no need for you to then justify what you're doing. Everybody won't get what you're doing. If you're waiting for everybody to pat you on your back, you'll be dead and we'll roll a casket in here, then they'll give you your praise. In the meantime, you got to do what God is calling you to do, even if it comes with no rewards whatsoever. You got to know why you're doing the thing. Amen. Not what other people are saying, not what they're doing, but you have to understand why you're doing it. But at the same time, sometimes on the battlefield, you have to bring the soldier off the battlefield, bring them back into garrison, that's the safe place, so that you can counsel them. Okay? Now, the power of counseling is that counseling will address, one, blemishes. That is, it will address or have the power to clean up your past wounds. Because when you're in church, or when you're in the nightclub, or when you're in the day club or the evening club, you are going to get hurt. Amen. So those pains that you have is going to give blemishes. But you have to be careful that you don't allow your pain to make you start disliking someone. Amen. Irregardless to what they did to you. Amen. Because the truth of the matter is, people don't do anything to you. If you're a child of God, they do something for you. So even when they think that they're hurting you, they're helping you because they're setting you up. So they're making you a stronger person. But you have to allow yourself to go through the process in addressing the blemishes. The second thing that counseling does, it has the power to set you on a new beginning. That is, blemishes deal with your past. The new beginning that counsel deal with, it is to clear up the path that you're on right now. It is to give you healing right now. Now, when you open yourself up for healing, you have to understand that where you just came from and where you are today are two different places.
Amen.
Stop expecting to see God move how He used to move in your life. Because God is saying to you, I want to do a new thing, so I got to take you through a process because I got to grow you up. And so here we are whining and saying, God, why? And God is saying, if you only knew where I was taking you to.
Amen.
Amen.
I know what's going on in your life, but I'm taking you higher because I love you. Well, God, how can you love me and allow pain? Because pain is a part of the process.
Amen.
See, we look at it and say, well, God is mad with me. And God is saying, no, I still love you. And we look at it and we say, God, if I'm going through something, I must did something wrong, so this is payback. Your payback is the grace of God. Your payback is the favor of God. Your payback is the mercy of God. Your payback is the cross. That's how God pays you back. He blessed you in spite of you. But Satan wants us to believe that God is out to get us. And so instead of us seeing a new beginning, we begin to look at things as being over. Now, the third thing that counseling will do is that it will allow you to become balanced. And that is, it will reset you, center you, for your success. When God have need for you, God puts you on a path, and quite often He'll remove everybody else away from you.
Amen.
So when you begin to go through something and then your friends begin to step away, you think something is wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. God has a plan for you, and everybody can't go to your promised land with you. See, sometimes God has to strip people away from us so that He can get our attention. And see, when we begin to focus on God, then God begin to open up doors. But sometimes God won't open those doors as long as you have people in your ear. Isn't it an awful thing for you to hear the voice of God and your neighbor talking to you? Have you ever been in church and you needed to hear something and somebody sitting next to you talking about something that has absolutely nothing to do with your promises? Don't you just want to say, just shut up? Don't you want to get up and move? And God is saying, but I'm moving you. And so I'm moving you by silencing your critic, because I got purpose for you. I got plan for you, but you got to wait.
Amen.
The worst place to be is to hear from God, but God hasn't moved yet.
Amen.
When you can see your promises, but God hasn't released them yet. Amen. And so then we'll try to get ahead of God. When we get ahead of God, then we mess up the whole plan. We go right back to grade one, and we have to start the process all over again. Now here's the story that we're dealing with tonight. This story about Sarah and this story about Abram. Sarah and Abram are married. They're old folk. And because they're old folk, they have no children. They think that their time has expired. And so because they think their time has expired, now they know how to help God. Because God obviously needs help right here. We can laugh at Sarah and Abram, but we are the same way. When God is doing something in our life, we think God doesn't know what He's doing, or if it was me, God, I wouldn't do it like that. But if you don't know your left hand from your right hand, or where you're going, how do you know that God is misleading you? What do you have to gauge it on? You really have to learn to trust God. See, trusting God requires what we'll call in the natural blind faith, but in the supernatural, faith is never blind. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is what I desire. I have no proof yet, but I believe this thing. And so we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because your sight will get you in trouble. Your sight will allow you to see your resume and think that you qualify, and think that the person next to you is not qualifying. God is saying, but I'm favoring this person in this season. I don't care about a resume. I don't care about a college degree. I don't care about
about anything else because you got the favor of God upon your life. Now, the problem with having the favor of God is that other people will always see your anointing. And when people see your anointing, the one thing that Satan cannot have is your anointing. So he'll always send somebody to destroy your anointing. He can't take it, so he'll put it on a delayed time. And so you sitting there trying to figure out and deal with some crazy person who means nothing to you in life, and so you wasting all your time on them. And God is saying, but I'm calling you to something. Now listen to this. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, she bare him no children. Okay? No children whatsoever. So the question is this. What do you do when your moment has not manifested? You've been praying for something. You believe God is going to do it. You know God is going to do it. But your moment has not manifested. But what do you do when you're asking God for something and you've heard the voice of God and you know that it's the promise of God and it's right around the corner because my neighbor just got there. So I know I'm next in line for my blessing, but it has not shown up yet. And so there you are, waiting for God to release your blessings. And if we're not careful, we can destroy ourselves in the wait. See, the Bible says, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So the strength we have to understand is not might, not muscles. The strength is my faith.
Amen.
But I believe God is going to do this thing. He may not be doing it now, but he's an on-time God. God is going to do this thing. And so it declares, now listen to this, when your moment has not manifested, you have to understand that the timing of God is not your time.
All right.
I know you feel like you're ready for it. I know you feel like you deserve it. I know you feel all that stuff like, if that person got it, I must be, I'm going to get it right now. But God's timing is not our timing. See, when you look next door and you covet your neighbor and you try to compare your life against that person's life, you'll get messed up. Because where God is taking you, he's not taking someone else. So God is going to do a new thing in you, but you got to wait for God to move in your life.
Amen.
Now, this Sarah and Abram, they got ahead of God. They tried to anyway. And so the issue becomes, because God was moving so slow, they thought a delay from God meant denial. I wonder if you ever feel that way.
Amen.
A delay from God means a denial. Because he hasn't done it yet. I've been asking 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 15 months, 5 days, and God has not moved yet. See, as long as God is keeping you in a place, you have to understand, really, he's keeping you in a place. And so even though it may be uncomfortable where you are, you're still in the hand of God. No one's going to take your house. No one's going to take your car. Your child ain't going to jail. Your big mama ain't going to die. And none of that going to happen when you are in the hand of God. And so God is saying, I'm a keeper. I got you. And until God release, nothing is going to happen. So what he is teaching us is, can you trust me right here? I know Sarah and Abraham, or Abram, I haven't answered your prayer, but do you trust me? Do you believe that I know where we're going? Now listen to this. And so Abram is listening to his wife, and the next verse says, and Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. Listen to this. You'll always catch hell when you submit yourself to a human being over a heavenly voice. You'll always catch hell when you start listening to what people are saying and not what God is speaking from heaven in your life. And so here is Sarah. She tells Abraham something, and Abram, he'll hearken, submit to what she is saying. Problem number one with that is that God is a God of order. Again, I'm not being a chauvinistic person. I just want to talk about the Bible. And so the Bible says that God places the man over the woman. It doesn't mean that the woman is weaker or anything. It's just order. That's all. Just order. Okay? And so just like the Bible says the woman is to submit to the husband, it also says, whoop, turn it around, and the husband is to submit
that's
to his
right.
wife.
That's right.
It's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
See, because when you equally yoke, you know that whatever he says is in the house best interest.
Okay.
Whatever she says is in the house best interest. And so now we stop the power struggle thing. Who's in charge? I'm the man. I'm beating my chest. That's totally irrelevant, and that is not what God is saying in terms of man, woman, head of the house. That is not what he's saying. God is simply saying, I'm a God of order. And so if God is speaking to Abram, this same Abram will become Abraham and be the father of many nations, but he's listening to what his wife is saying. He's listening. Didn't we experience that with Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
It didn't work that time. It didn't work. See, we have to learn that when God established order, God functioned in order. When God functioned in order, that means that when everything is lined up, that God then showers on the head and you have a trickle down. How can you then talk about your pastor and ask for blessings upon your ancestors?
Amen.
Because what God does here, it flows down to you.
Amen.
You know, the truth of the matter is, you should be praying for me.
Amen.
Because whatever God does for me is coming your way. Relax. I don't want nothing from you. I just want to be a blessing to you. I just want us tonight just to understand what I'm saying. I'm not asking you, ain't no plates going to be passed. None of that. I'm just talking about prayer. I'm just talking about when you keep the head lifted up, then God is flowing. That's all I'm saying to you. I'm just saying God is a God of order. I'm just saying that when God begins to bless in this house, you understand when God moves in my life, God is going to move in your life. You got to understand your connection to me. How can you hate me, dislike me, and then you crazy enough still to come here? The Bible declares that Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, this is Sarah, his wife. Okay? Now, so what Sarah does is Sarah tries to speed up the process. And so the Bible says, and Sarah, Abram's wife, she took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and she hooked her husband up with this young, beautiful Egyptian black girl. Hey, Rod. Okay, I want to tell you. Okay, so anyway, here's this Jewish guy who is now exposed to this Egyptian girl. And maybe it's his first time. Y'all grown. Maybe it's his first time. So he sees this black girl. And this Jewish guy gets really excited, and he forgets what God is saying to him, and he slides in there in the room. I'm talking about. He slides in. Say what? He slides in the room, and you know they say once you go black, you can't go. We all right, Sam? I love you because we can freely jump to it. But he went there because his wife told him to. She wanted to rush God so that she could have a child through someone else. And God was saying, but I don't need your help. God is saying, when it's time, I'll do this all by myself. Now, notice what she did. You have to track this Sarah. Because Sarah says, I'm going to give you my maid. Now, people are not property. So problem number one, how can you give something that you don't own? Now, somebody may work for are you, but you don't own them. They are property of God. And so here's this woman who is out of her mind, think that she has so much money or whatever that she has people to give. She messed around and gave the wrong one to her husband. And the Bible declares 10 years, he's still there. He never came back home. Okay? So you have to be careful sometimes what you're offering people. I'm going somewhere with this. You have to be careful what you're offering people because they just may receive it. Okay? So now the Bible says that they hooked up together. And when they hooked up together, it says now the mistress, she despised Sarah. Okay? Now, but just think about that. Sarah was trying to be cute by giving her husband away. Now she can't have a child. The woman has a child. And the woman says, I got something that you don't, which is a child. And so now the woman is, in essence, laughing at her. Have you ever tried to help someone? And when they got theirs, they laughed at you. Have you ever tried to help someone? And when their blessing came, they turned their back on you. Have you ever tried to help someone? And while they were still holding your stuff, they were looking crazy at you. And in your mind, it's like, well, when you going to release them $20 that I gave you while you're rolling your eyes at me? You got it? You get it, right? And so they hook up and they have a child. Okay? Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself for Sunday, but listen, the child that they have is Ishmael. Okay? So they do have a child, but the child is not Sarah's child. God is saying to Sarah, you're going to have your own child. I don't care about your age. When God is ready to bless you, he doesn't care about your age. That's why you can quit listening to somebody who's saying, you're too old for that. You're too old for that. You better believe you're never too old. You're never too old. When God says it's time, he'll release everything and make everything work again and get everything back at the right timing, at the right point. God will do all that for you just because he loves you. And you keep talking about, oh, I'm too old. No, baby, quit cursing yourself. You ain't too old, you just right. You seasoned just perfectly. Just perfectly. So they hook up and they have this child. They have this child. And now Sarah. So now Sarah is upset because the lady is upset with him. Okay? So the lady Hagar don't like Sarah, and Sarah don't like her. The man who started it all, he then turned to Sarah and says to Sarah, do with her what you want. Whatever you please. Now here's the problem with that. The problem with that is the lack of leadership. The lack of leadership. This is what I've learned in life. Is that in spite of what a woman say, she still want to take charge, man.
Amen.
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 All right. All right. Well, what you want to do? Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. She's looking for someone to say, babe, I know you, I know what you like. We're going to do this, how you like that? Because you know me and I know you. And so what she understands is that I find safety and comfort and security in this person who took the time to learn me. And so now that they are intimate with me, not just in that way, but intimate, they know who I am. Now I can trust them. Abraham says, do with her what you please. Listen to this. Watch this in closing. This is where I want it to be. Notice that at this time, Sarah is hurting. She's embarrassed. Nothing is going right for her. Watch this. If you take nothing else home tonight, take this. A hurting person will always hurt you. She's hurting. She's hurting. Abram says to her, do with her as you please. Now it seems to me like since she started everything, she'll just say, just move out the house. I don't want to deal with you no more. Take your little baby and you go on. And that's it. That's it. He says, do with her as you please. And notice, because she's hurting, she now hurts someone else. Be careful about the circle of friends that you're with. Because if your friendship, relationship, your circle is not a healthy circle, they'll hurt you every time. Every time. You heard someone say misery loves company? So if I'm miserable, then I want you to be the same way. See, somehow it makes us equal. Instead of me praying for you and saying, when you come out of this thing, you're going to reach back and grab me. No, I want both of us to suffer. Hurting people will always hurt people.
Amen.
And she's hurting. And because she is so hurt, she wants to hurt someone else as well. Both know God. Two wounded warriors. Instead of fighting the enemies, Satan makes us fight one another. So here we are sitting in church, singing, praising, teaching and preaching, and hate one another.
Amen.
Here we are coming to the same church, serving the same God, and stabbing one another as often as we can. I'm just talking about the church. Many years ago, the old people used to sing this song, this "When All of God's Children." Yeah. And that's not getting together in heaven.
That's
coming together on one accord right here.
Amen.
Imagine the power that the church has if we'll work as one. If we'll work as one. I want to close with something, because this is in my head, on my heart right now. What if the church that started the support system, what we call welfare today? In biblical days, Old Testament, you're a member of the universal body, a believer in God. The church had a responsibility to take care of you. Okay? Because the church had a responsibility to take care of you, the church did that. I don't want your money. Really, but now I'm just talking. Okay. The way that the church was able to do that was through tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a money thing, it was the property or possessions that you had in terms of cows and sheep and rice or grain. You would bring it to the storehouse. It's what we call the church. In the back room, the preacher started stealing from the storehouse. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when the people had need, it was gone. Number one, next time a preacher tells you, well, a man robbed God, understand It's not to you that the Bible is talking to. It's to the preacher. Okay? And so, the church had this responsibility to care for its people. Government steps in. Government says, we can do that, but we won't call it tithes. We'll call it taxes. You work, you pay your taxes. Please don't take me the wrong way. You have an off season and you go file for your unemployment, which is insurance, by the way. Ain't nobody giving you
nothing. That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
That's yours.
That's right.
That's yours.
That's
yours. Imagine the people who 49 and a half and die, they've been contributing. Where did that go? Stop allowing people to put foolishness in your brain. That what you're entitled to, you shouldn't have. You give it. Now, there's abuse in everything. You young, you healthy. Go to work.
Amen.
You're 16, you got four kids, whatever you contributed, go to work.
Yeah.
Really? Go to work.
Right.
But you're 49 and you have back surgery. Should not your neighbor be there for you? It kills me when people call the church and people want the church to do something for them, and we have the unfortunate of looking at the records and discover that you haven't done anything for your church on your good days. Do you really want me to take somebody else's tithes and give it to you? You got to be at your mind. You got to be at your mind. And so what we have to learn is, while you're healthy, do. And when something happens to you, you become wounded, we have an obligation to reach out to you. We have an obligation, not just giving, but also resources. Connect you with this person who's in a church who can get you a job, with that person who can get you a car, with that person that can do this and can do that. That's what we're here for. We're here for all of that stuff. And so when I say to you that you should be praying for me, it's because when you're going through something, you come to me and then you want me to connect you with that person. And then as soon as we do, and then you're gone as soon as you get your car. Wounded. And so while we can look sometimes and say, I get hurt in the church, if you want me to continue, I want you to continue.
Amen.
Co-workers talked about you. You didn't quit your job, did you? All right in there. I need my job. No, you need Christ.
Amen.
You need Christ. Have you been blessed enough? Isn't it a blessing that we can come to church, we can get a word, but we can also get laughter as well?
Amen.